Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Fullness of God in helpless faith, His gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain.
Amen. Thank you very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. All right. Mr. Tim is bringing our bag here. And don't go too far away, because I'm sure you're going to have to explain this to me, whatever it may be. Do you want to open it? Hold on. We've got wood. Is it a covering of some kind? No. You've got the right idea. All right. So Uh-huh. Okay. That's a bearing, so it's kind of like a buffer between the outer and the inner. All right. I can work with that. Huh? You can hold the bag, absolutely. So, this is a bearing, and as he said, there's a metal shaft that goes in, and there's another metal casing on the outside. And so this kind of, I guess, helps keep some of the friction, maybe keeps it from overheating or something like that, and it helps those two parts work together and work in tandem. Yeah, I know. And sometimes we need a buffer when we're working with other people, don't we? Sometimes we need some bearings, right? Like when somebody brings something in a bag and you've never seen it before and you're wondering what in the world it is. Sometimes we need those, right? Because sometimes there can be friction because we're called to be a community of people, right? And we're called to worship God together, to minister together. And from time to time, we're going to disagree, right? Have you ever disagreed with somebody? Has somebody ever had the audacity to come over to your house and play with your toys? Yeah, sometimes. And there's friction, right? And there's some tension there. And so you got to work through that. So I want to encourage us to work together, to know that at times there's going to be difficulty. But with God's grace and with good communication, we'll be able to work together and do the things that we're supposed to do. Let's get back with this. Thank you. How'd I do, Tim? All right, good. Any other adult want the bag? Well, hold on, little adult. Any other adult want the bag? All right, Roger's got his hand up. There you are, sir. Be kind. All right, we're going to pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church with Miss Vicky, okay? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be in ministry together with each other, to remember and recognize the gifts that we all bring. And may we continue to strive to work together and to do that which you have called us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. All these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go. Slow down now. I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous when I knew Tim had the bag. But again, thank you, Tim. Now that that's over, now the easy part. Now I just got to preach, so we're good to go. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Luke 4, 14 to 21. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit this January, and we'll continue on through February. And if you'll remember back with me, we looked at love. And I think if you go to the next slide, there's the graphic. Beautiful. And so you'll see here that we've got love here at the beginning. And I'm making the claim that love is the beginning point of the fruit of the Spirit. God's initiating love is what starts this process. And as love grows, we can see that it begins to encompass all of these other fruits of the Spirit. And so that's how we considered love a few weeks ago. We looked at joy and how we express that love and how we visualize that love when others are around. Last week at Pops, we looked at peace and we looked at what we receive and what we offer from God. And we'll talk a little more about that here in a few moments. Since we missed last week, I have two really good sermons that I'm gonna give you today. So just sit tight, be patient. We'll get there, all right? So no rush, all right? So just lock it in. No. Yeah. No, easy. Let us hear now God's word from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled, just as you heard it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, again for this day, we give you thanks. As we pause to spend these next few moments considering your word, we pray that you would be with the words you have given me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. May we, in the strength of the body you have given to us, be faithful to your call to promise. And we ask all of this in Christ. Amen. As I mentioned last week, the plan was to look at peace and to spend time there. We did that at the Pops service, and we spent time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And I found that to be an interesting passage, especially on peace, because if we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it would be a good idea to also talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, here's where you can pluralize a word, gifts of the Spirit. I want to thank you all for giving me a hard time on the fruit of the Spirit and on Revelation. I know that you heard that because you've been jarring me with it and telling me about the fruits of the Spirit and Revelations and all that stuff. So I'm glad you heard something. And I made the claim last week as we talked about peace that we are really only at peace when we are fulfilling our God-given purpose. And we cannot know what our God-given purpose is if we don't know the gifts that we have been given by God. And all of us have received gifts by God because God has told us that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts to us as the Holy Spirit decides. And so we're going to come back to this a little bit later, but we need to be mindful of that. We're only at peace when we are fulfilling our God-given purpose. For now, what we need to know is that we cannot be patient without the peace of God dwelling within us. We have no hope of being patient without that peace of God. Now, this passage that we've read today in Luke chapter 4 is Jesus' introduction as the Messiah, really to kind of the general populace. This is the first sermon we have recorded by Jesus, and it's a very short one. Unlike what I'm going to do today. And so in the first part of chapter 4, in the first 13 verses, we have Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. In chapter 3, we have Jesus' baptism, and in between there is this long genealogy that proves who Jesus is following Mary's genealogical line. And I say all this to say that everything that we have been looking at up to this point, Luke has built on who he is telling us Jesus is. It is all culminated here in this passage as he proclaims this message from Isaiah. And he reads specifically from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2, and Isaiah 58, 6. And it's interesting because he focuses on the positive aspects of these two passages. He leaves out the parts of judgment and things like that. At least Luke's recording of that is. And so it's very interesting how he focuses on the positive aspects of what the Messiah is doing. So again, this builds on who Luke has been telling us Jesus is, and this passage also tells us what the Messiah is going to do. What is the Messiah going to do now that he's here? What is his purpose? What is his plan? And he tells us very plainly from Isaiah that the Messiah will preach good news to the poor. He will proclaim release to the captives, and he will proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. He is going to liberate the oppressed, and he's going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I'm going to say that a little differently. He is going to proclaim the Jubilee. I think he's making a very clear reference to Leviticus, the year of Jubilee. Every 49th year in Israel's history, there was supposed to be this year of Jubilee. And what would happen is that everybody would be given back their portion of the promised land. If they had had to sell their property to pay a debt, or maybe they were in debtor's prison, or they were enslaved by somebody, and there was all of this stuff going on, in the 49th year, everyone was given back what they had been given when they entered the promised land. The one commandment we never see Israel do in all the Old Testament. But here, Jesus is proclaiming the year of Jesus, the Lord's favor upon his people. This episode, this section of Scripture, comes to a people, his home church, who have waited a long time for the Messiah. They have waited thousands of years. There have been thousands of years that have gone between Isaiah's writing of this to Jesus reading it here in this passage. And he's finally here. The wait is over. And between Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and Luke chapter 1, when the angel comes to Zechariah, there's 400 years of silence. Nobody hears from God at all. And so these Israelites know what it is to wait. For us today, as we read this passage, we're some 2,000 years removed from Jesus' first sermon. We are a people who know how to wait. We don't necessarily like to wait, but we know how to wait. And we find ourselves still waiting, still expectant for the return of Christ as he has promised. And I think the waiting for us is compounded because we have become a people and are becoming a people with increasing amounts of data and information coming at us all the time. We've got commercials on TV. We've got the internet. We've got social media. All these things are coming at us. And it's hard for us to simply sit and think. How many of you are a little fancy? We've made several jokes about a long time. See you being for real? You're looking on your phone, seeing what counts as a hostage crisis, right? This waiting is compounded because of the immediacy of the information that we can get today. We can Google anything and find anything that we want. And we are a people that hate to wait. But waiting, I believe, is part of our task as Christians. We are called to wait. I know that's frustrating. That's what we're called to. And I think that's why patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit, because we are called to it. And so as we consider this waiting, we're left to ask ourselves, what do we do in the meantime? Let's not focus on the waiting. Let's focus on what we can do while we are waiting. And as those who are hopefully growing in the fruit of the Spirit, there are a couple things that we can do, and a couple things I want to offer to us this morning that we can be working on in the midst of this waiting, so that we're not just sitting there doing nothing. First, we can wait patiently for the return of Jesus, and we can do so visibly. And we can wait for the answers to our prayers from God patiently in a visible way. I want to flesh this out a little. I want to explain a little what I mean here. We have the opportunity to set the example for the world that quick answers are not always the best answers. How many of us like quick answers? Right? We're an immediate people. We like quick answers. I'm going to ask another question for us. How many of us this morning would rather have a microwave meal or a homemade meal? Raise your hand if you prefer a microwave meal. Raise your hand if you prefer a homemade meal. Abby, are you taking my homemade meal? Very good cook. Very good cook. We prefer the homemade meal. It takes longer, right? It takes time. There's a process to it, but it tastes better. It's something we remember and something that we'll talk about. So why are we okay with that with food, but we're not okay with that with our spiritual lives or with the way that life just works? We'll wait for some things, but we won't wait for everything. Another thought, how long does it take to lose credibility? almost instantly, and immediately we can lose credibility. Think of Tom Brady and Deflategate. He's got a chance to regain it. But how long does it take to regain that credibility? Forever. Sometimes never, just depending on what that is. It takes time. When we gather around the table, the altar, we're reminded of the meal of Holy Communion. We're reminded and we're looking forward to the great banquet that Christ is preparing for us. Do you think that's going to be a microwave meal? Or do you think it's going to be a homemade meal? It's going to be a homemade meal. He hadn't come back yet because he hasn't got all the fixings done just yet. Because there's not enough people ready to sit around the table just yet. So many of us say, Jesus, we want you back now. And when we say that, do we consider all the people that have yet to know? We have the opportunity to set the example and to visibly be a non-anxious presence in the midst of anxious times. We're in the middle of some anxious times. The United Methodist Church, we've got some anxious times. We've got General Conference meeting in February, 23rd through the 26th. It's an anxious time. It's an anxious time to be in America. We've got people over here. We've got people over here. They're not being very patient. It's an anxious time. And we have an opportunity to be a non-anxious to just visibly be people of love, joy, and peace. And when we are at peace, when we are exuding joy, when we are showing love, there will be a sense of patience that people will see. And they will maybe not recognize, but they'll know that it's something that they want. Can we put our patient trust in God in visible ways so that the world and so that they might be at peace as well? We can patiently wait physically. The second thing is that we can be active in our waiting. We don't have to just sit and wait. Just because we're waiting doesn't mean we stop doing anything. We can't simply sit and wait, but we must be busy doing what the Messiah did while he was here. Continuing that work, because he set the example for us. He set the example of what we're supposed to do. Notice he says in verse 21, today the scripture has been fulfilled as you've heard it. No, it hasn't. There's still people out there that are blind. There's still people that are being oppressed. There's still people that need to be set free. So guess what we need to be busy doing while we're here? Preaching the good news. Proclaiming release and recovery. Liberating the oppressed. Proclaiming jubilee. That is our task. That's what we can busy ourselves with. I want to give us some practical takeaways. You see the, if you'll go to the next slide, you'll see on the bottom of this screen, it's had a website on it the entire time that we've had this. The other day, a couple weeks ago, I took this spiritual gifts assessment online. That's the web address for it. It's from the UnitedMethodistChurch.org. 21 questions. It literally took me only 2 hours to fill this at home screen. It only took me like 10 minutes to do this. And it gives me this list of my spiritual gifts. There I am on paper. Beautiful. You'll notice my last gift here is healing. Do not come to me for healing. It will not happen. All right? I only got a 1 on that. Teaching and shepherding and leadership and interpretation are my top 4 scores. And I can click on those and it will tell me what those mean. It'll kind of flesh those out. Now, this is not a in-depth assessment, but it's merely meant to get you started thinking about how you might be at peace, how you might be able to fulfill your call as a disciple of Jesus. So I want to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take this spiritual gift assessment at your leisure. Once you take it and finish it, it'll ask for your name and your email address. It'll also ask for two other email addresses. I'm going to be so bold to ask you to put my email address in one of those boxes so that I can get your assessment as well. And I'd love to talk with you about that. What does that look like? And I know what you're thinking. I can't wait to talk to you, Matt, because you're going to tell me how I can do things here at the church. That's exactly right. Yes. And we'll talk about ways that you can use those gifts that you have so that you can have peace in your life and be fulfilling your purpose, whatever that might be. And as you're doing that, as you are seeking to fulfill your purpose, you won't have time to think about being patient because you'll simply be busy loving and joyfully expressing the peace of Christ to others. Praise God. I don't have to think about being patient. Don't pray for patience. It's not one of these gifts. It's a fruit. But if we're busy with these other things, if we're actively living the life that we've been called to live as disciples of Jesus Christ, time is going to fly by. Time is going to fly by. We're going to see some amazing things, and we're going to have some wonderful stories to share. As we patiently await Christ's return, I pray that we would be a non-anxious presence in this world. I pray that we would be busy with the work of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would seek to make disciples intentionally of Jesus Christ within our church, throughout our community, and around the world. We've got 5 minutes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for this time that we could gather. Lord, as we consider this fruit of patience, it often is something that gives us great anxiety and fear. We pray that we would be so busy with your work of love and joy and peace that patience would just happen. Lord, give us the strength to do your work. Give us the courage to await your return and keep us busy so that we don't get bored and lose. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. And ask all these things in Christ's name.